may be seated. Take your Bible, if you will, tonight. Open it up to Romans chapter 16, the 16th chapter of the book of Romans, if you would. And we'll get into the message tonight. The 40th sermon I've preached, I think, from Romans, and getting pretty close to the end here, all right? Romans chapter 16. I want to begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succor of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. I'm going to leave off reading here, okay? But we're going to just keep your Bible open because we're going to cover more of the verses in this chapter. If you take the time to read the entire chapter, the 16th chapter here of Romans, you find a lot of names that you'll probably have a hard time pronouncing. But there are a lot of names in here, and it just goes from one to the other. There usually every verse almost introduces at least one other person, and just a whole bunch of folks in here. But these are folks that the Apostle Paul knew, and he wished to send them greetings. So that's what he's doing here in the end of this book of Romans. You have to remember the apostle had ministered all around the Mediterranean, okay? I mean, he had ministered especially on the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea and then up from there and to the west, and just covered a huge amount of that area. And he had gone to a lot of places, and because of that, he had crossed paths with a lot of people, all right? Just crossed paths with a lot of folks. But the truth of the matter is, folks, life's really all about people. It is all about people. The Christian life is definitely all about people. We live in a day where some people think life consists of how much stuff you can get, all right, and how much junk you can hoard up. But that's not what life consists of. Some of them think it's how long you can live, all right, and how many years that you can put in. Some of them have the idea it's how much glory you can get coming your way, or maybe in today's vernacular, how many Twitter followers you can have, or you know, that kind of thing, and people get excited about that. But folks, that's not what makes life. The truth is, what makes life the way it ought to be is the relationships that you have with people. The relationships you have with people. That's what makes life worth living, all right? It's not about all the stuff you can accumulate, but the relationships you have with people. Just think about it. What makes life life, okay? What makes life life? Well, it's the relationships you do have. And you say, well, preacher, I know some people. Hey, I do too. I know the reclusive hermits that are out there, the loners. I know that, but they're a very small minority. And they miss a great deal of life. And if you decide to seclude yourself away, you know, find you a cave in the mountains somewhere and just live there on your own, you're going to miss a lot of life, all right? There's a lot of different people. There's many different kinds of people that you're going to meet in life. And we're just going to look at some of them here in Romans chapter 16. The first one I want you to see is a lady by the name of Phoebe, right there in the first verse and the second verse. Notice what it says in verse 2. It says that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. Hey, got news for you. Some of the people you're going to need to help. There's going to be some people you just need to help, all right? They're in life, and they need some help. The Bible tells us about Phoebe. She was a servant of the Lord. A servant of the Lord. And Paul said, what I want you to do is to assist her in any way that you can. Assist her in any way that you can. Folks, that's part of what we're here to do. We're here to help people.
We're here to help people, especially those of the household of faith, all right? Well, we're to be a help to them. We're not to be a hindrance, and we're to do everything we can. And the truth is, we can usually do more than we think we can. We can usually do more than we think we can. Now, normally, when I say help people, we immediately think, well, people need money, they need rent, and they food. And that may be. That may be. If that's the case, then we're to help as much as we can. We're to do what we can for people. The truth is, I believe the Scripture says, and if we'd have done things now, it'd be next to impossible to fix the mess we're in today, because in the day we live, in this day, the government is become the helper, all right? And it's become the facilitator, and instead of helping people, they've made people dependent upon them, and that's not a good thing. So we look at it, but the truth of the matter is God's people are to be the ones that help. You read all through the Scriptures, you get over and it talks about widows, and the Bible instructs us we're to help the widows. We're to help the ones in need. We're to help the orphans. We're to help folks, all right? There's people that have a need. We're to look for people and be a helper, all right? We're to help them. But not just folks that are in need that way, but people that are serving the Lord. Hey, is there something we can do to help you? Is there some way we can help you? Brother Sharp was here last Sunday, and I got to spend a lot of time with him the week before, and we talked a lot. And you know, I think most of you know that his wife was killed in a car wreck just instantaneously, and a very young lady. And boy, it's left him in a tough way. And he, you know, in talking to him about that experience, he's talked about how he said it's amazing how it seems like just when I've needed it the most, somebody'd call. Somebody'd call. Yeah, just when I needed it the most, and they'd call. He said, I had people, friends from years ago I hadn't seen in years, and they came to the funeral. He named one individual like that, and he said, ever since that funeral service, he said he's called me at least once a week. Why? Just trying to help. Just trying to help. You say, preacher, when you get into situations like that, I don't know what to say. You ever been there? Ever been in a situation, been in maybe a tragedy? You say, what do I say? Just show up. Just show up. There's no magic words. There's nothing that you can say that's going to suddenly be the thing to say, but it's just knowing somebody's there that would like to help. That would help, all right? That would do it, just to be there. And if all you do is put a hand on that brother or sister and say, I just want you to know I love you and I'm praying for you and I'm right here, do what I can, do what I can. But then look for what you can do to help. Hey, look, that God put us here. Paul said there's some people in this world need help. They need help. Said Phoebe's like that. You need to help her. She's a servant of the Lord. Anything you can do, help her. We're to look for people with help. So some people in this world need help, but some people in this world need thanks. They need thanks. Look at verse 4. Did you notice as we're reading, he's talking about Priscilla and Aquila. He said, these are people laid down their own necks, and unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks to these two people. These two people, Aquila and Priscilla. Look, God's people need to be grateful people. We need to be grateful people. We ought to be consistent, in thanking folks for what they've done for us. Thanking folks for what they've done for us. Now, who do you need to thank, okay? Now, stay with me just for a moment. Who do you need to thank in this world? Well, who's the person that led you to the Lord? Who's the person that led you to the Lord? When's the last time you said, hey, I just want to say thanks? Well, preacher, I said it once. Is that enough? You know, it's okay every now and then to just say, hey, thanks. Hey, thanks for preaching me the truth. Thanks for preaching the truth to me. You know, hey, these folk, we're not talking about people necessarily laid down their life for you. laid down their neck for you, but just people that have done something that you ought to be grateful to them, and they ought to be thanked for it. There should be some thanks offered up. Years ago, we drove back to Georgia, and I knew there was a lady there still alive that had taught me when I was in Sunday school, and I wanted to look her up, and I walked in. I'll never forget, she was in a nursing home, and I walked in, left my family out in the car. They didn't know her, and I walked into her room, and I spoke to her, and I said, "How you doing?" She looked up. She said, "I'm fine." I said, Do you know who I am? She said, "You're one of the Mosley boys." I'm not sure which one, but I know you're one of the Mosley boys. And I thought, well, that's amazing, all right? I don't know how long it'd been since I'd seen her, years and years and years. But one of the reasons I stopped by was to say thank you for teaching me in Sunday school. Thanks for doing that. Thanks for doing that. And I've tried to down through the years go back and thank every teacher that I could get to that helped me and taught me in Sunday school. Just as a boy, you said, "Preacher, none of them are alive anymore." Okay, fine, but who is alive, you ought to think. Who is alive? I've tried to go back and thank the people that have helped us in our Christian school. Man, there's some of them. I told one lady, matter of fact, Cheryl Fondon's mom worked for us the first year we opened our Christian school, and I thanked her. I said, "Thanks, hadn't been few, we'd have never made it, you know." And man, I was green as green could be, and you know, I was there, and I even thanked the first year classes. I said, "I just want to thank y'all for helping me learn to teach, you know. Thanks for helping me learn to teach." We'd have a reunion, and I said, "Just thank you for doing that." Hey, we need to be grateful people. We need to be grateful people. Thanks, hey, the one that taught you in Sunday school, the one that's preached the truth to you, the one that reaches down to you in life from time to time, lifts you up, the one that encourages you. Man, there's nothing wrong with just, hey, thanks. I just want you to know I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Well, we ought to be that kind of people. We ought to be grateful people. Grateful people. And we ought to let people know that. Let them know we're grateful people. And that's what Paul's saying to these folks here. So there's folks we need to help. There's folks we need to thank. But there's folks we need to befriend. Just to be friends with them. Look at verse 13, would you? I told you it because more of these verses. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus. By the way, that is the exact right pronunciation of that word, if you've ever wondered. And Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philodus, and Julian, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Hey man, he starts naming some people. He said, salute them. Now, when we hear the word salute, we think, snap up, take it out. No, that's not what that verse means. That's not what that word means here. That word means to greet, to welcome them. Really, it even goes so far as to give them a hug, if you would. Notice what verse 16 says. Salute one another with an holy kiss. If you don't mind, I'd just rather just shake your hand, all right? If you don't mind, let me make that holy kiss, all right? But what are we saying here? What's Paul saying? He said, look, there's some folks you ought to just greet. You ought to just greet them. They ought to be befriended. You ought to seek to have friends. Paul's saying, give my regards to these people, if you would. Let them know I'm thinking about them. Let them know that. When I say give my regards to these people, when you greet the friend of a friend, you just might make a new friend. All right? You just might make a new friend. If you'll greet the friend of a friend. Now, I won't ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hand or anything, but how many of you got too many friends? Well, preacher, my list is full, and I'd just soon not have any more. Don't want to have any more. Now, when we talk about friends, there you might say a circle of friends, and that it is a big circle, maybe, acquaintances. We were out today eating lunch, and a lady came by me and said, "Hello, Brother Moses." I said, "Howdy, ma'am." And after I passed her, I thought, who in the world's that? And then I began to think, okay, let me think just a little bit, you know. And then I went to the infallible help. I asked my wife, I said, "You see so-and-so over there?" you know who that is? And she said, well, I think it's, and I said, you know, I was kind of leaning that way, but I wasn't sure. But I meet people in so many capacities, I don't know who all of them are, and I can't remember all their names. But you know what? I'd rather people say, hello, Brother Mosley, and smile than to come by me going. That would make me worry just a little bit. Hey, we ought to do our best to befriend people. To befriend people. Look for somebody. Just be friendly. Now, they may not be your best friend. But then again, the person that might become your best friend, you'd never know it till you started to be friendly with them. Just be friendly. Be welcoming. Be welcoming. You know, I've said it multitudes of times. When people come through the doors of a church, they ought to find a friendly welcome. They ought to find a friendly welcome. They shouldn't find people saying, what are you doing here? Man, what kind of way is that, right? No, it's, hey, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. We're glad you came. Now, you say, but they look suspicious. Okay, be friendly to them and suspiciously keep an eye on them. But we still ought to be friendly. We ought to be welcoming. You know, we ought to be that way. And just, to seek to find, it's amazing to me as I talk to people how I find people that know other people that I know. It's amazing to run into that. Well, you never know. Hey, look, so Paul's saying to us here, hey, there's some folks you need to help. There's some folks you need to thank. But there's some folks you need to befriend. They need that, all right? They need that. Then look, if you will, back in verse 6, all right? Back in verse 6, notice what the Bible says here. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Then look at verse 9. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Then look at verse 12, all right? Verse 12. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Now, when you see those verses, what do you think about those? They have one common thread to them, one common characteristic. In verse 6 and verse 12, it talks about those that labor in the Lord. And then verse 9, you'll notice it says, our helper in Christ. Our helper in Christ. These are people that work. Hey, you said, what kind of people are they? These are people that you ought to emulate. There's people you ought to imitate. You said, that's somebody that's serving the Lord. I need to act like that. That's what I need to follow after. There's some people in this world that you need to help. There's some you need to thank. There's some you need to befriend. But some of them, you ought to try to be like them, okay? You ought to just try to be like them. You ought to decide, well, I'm going to try to be like that person. They're a worker. They serve the Lord. People that challenge us by their example of what they do. Those people like that, they're to be imitated. Hey, they're involved in the work of God. That's what you and I are supposed to be doing, okay? We're supposed to be doing that. You know, it's amazing the people we decide we want to be like. It's amazing. I work a lot with young people through the years, working as the youth director and working in the school and work with a lot of young people. And it's amazing the ones they want to be like. They want to be like the crowd that's worthless. I want to be like them. I want to just hang out. I don't want to do. Hey, you ought to have a desire. I want to emulate. Hey, let me find somebody that's doing something for God. That's who I want to be like. That's who I want to be like. I was preaching when I preached Mom's funeral. And we had a lot of folks here. We had some young people here that had been in the school. Mom had taught some of them. And I told them, I said, you know, instead of being some person that worships some stupid superhero, I said, why don't you take a person like my mom and decide I want to do that and spend my life serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Serving Him. Let's imitate those kind of people. Let's find somebody that's doing something for God and say, could I just hang around you a little bit? Could I just work with you a little bit? hey, would you let me go soul winning with you? Would you do that? Would you let me work on the bus route with you? Would you just follow you around, okay? I just want to see what you do. I want you to help me. Help me, because I want to be like you. I want to do something for the Lord. Hey, folks, there's some people in this world, that's what we need to do. We need to imitate them, okay? There's some people we need to imitate. We need to find the ones. Find the ones that are serving God, and let's do what they're doing. Let's do what they're doing. You know, I've always told young ladies, I've always tried to tell them, hey, you know what? You want to be married, and you want a successful marriage, find somebody that's been married. You find some lady who's been married 50 years and hang around them a little bit. They've done it successfully. They've made a success. You young guys want to be married. You want to have a good marriage. Hang around somebody that's been married a long time. And got a successful marriage. Don't listen to Oprah. Oprah's never been married. What nut would want to marry her anyway, all right? Man, don't go to her. Well, I listen to Dr. Phil. Don't listen to him. Find somebody that's made a success for themselves, for God, and say, that's the person I want to imitate. I just like to hang around them a little bit, all right? Just want to run with them some. Don't be distracted by this whole world and get your eyes on that. Don't do that. Now, there's some other folks, all right? There's some people we're to help. Now, don't close your eyes so you don't see the people that need help, all right? Don't do that. Don't do that. There's some people we need to thank. Whatever you do, don't be ungrateful. Thank those people. Thank those people. And it's okay to tell them more than once. It's okay to tell them more than once. Find those people like that, all right? Find those people that you need to do that. Find some folks that you need to befriend. Look for them and do that. Hey, there's some people you ought to imitate. But there's some negativity in this chapter too. I want you to look, if we'll, down at verse 17. Chapter 16, verse 17, the Bible says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Oh, listen, all I said is not good news in this chapter. There's some bad eggs trying to blend in with the world of Christianity. There's some folks out there you just can't trust. You said, wait a minute, preacher, you said be friendly. That's right, you ought to be friendly. But when you find out you're dealing with somebody that's wrong, the Bible said mark them. Now, I want you to pay close attention to what the Bible says. You don't mark them because of their personality. All right, that person just got a personality I don't like. But that's not why you mark them. That's not why you avoid them. Well, I just don't like their personality. Hey, if I were to ask this, have me be honest tonight. You've ever met somebody, they just kind of grate on you? Come on, anybody like that? You'll be honest? I have. It's just them. It is not that they're bad people, but it's just their personality. And they just grate on you, you know? Hey, that's not the Bible, the reason the Bible said mark them. It's not their meanness, but notice, all right, in truth, the crowd that we're to mark may have great personalities. They may be some of the people you say, boy, that is a personable individual. Good gracious. You just can't help but like them. Just can't help but like them. They could be kind, very kind, smooth talking. I believe they are. But the Bible's saying watch out because they're dangerous. They're dangerous to you, and they're dangerous to the work of God, okay? They're dangerous to the work of God. You say, well, how do we mark them? Well, look out, because they cause division. They cause division, all right? They're just there. There was just there. There was time several years ago now, good many years, that there was a fellow that came to church, and he joined the church, but he was a guy you kind of had to look out for because he would like to cause division. I was glad when he went back to the church he came here from. You said you didn't like him? No, it wasn't I didn't like him. But it's just one that would cause division. One that would just cause division. They bring offense. But wait a minute, I want you to go back to verse 17. I want you to notice very carefully what the scripture says. Here's the people you're to mark, all right, and to avoid them. It says they cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. Hey, you look out for folks that are spreading false doctrine. You just look out for them. And in little ways, be careful. Be careful. Be careful. False doctrine. Look out for that crowd that would come and begin to try to spread Calvinistic doctrine. You say, what do you mean? I mean that which says God's already picked who's going to be saved. They're going to be saved. They will be saved no matter what. And that person that's going to hell is going to hell no matter what. No matter what you do, you're wasting your time. Don't even witness. Don't even witness. The folks that are real strong, super strong Calvinists will not even pass out a tract because they say you're wasting your time. Because the folks that are going to get saved will get saved. Because it's already been ordained and predestinated before the foundation of the world. Hey, you need to be careful about people like that. Mark them. Mark them. Avoid them. I've got a friend. And that's what he's become. Breaks my heart. But I don't want to hang around with him. I don't want to hang around with him. Every once in a while, I will call him. I've noticed he never calls me. But every once in a while, I will call him. Say, hey, how you doing? I was just thinking about you. Thought I'd call and check on you. But I'm not going to go seek to have a lot of fellowship with him. Not going to do that. Hey, mark them false doctrine. This crowd that would tell you, well, hey, you don't have to stick with old King James Bible. You don't have to do that. Mark that guy. Mark that guy. He's headed the wrong direction. Headed the wrong direction. All right? Just watch out for him. Hey, watch out. I'm going to just say this. And watch out for people that want to question the pastor's leadership. Watch out for people like that. Watch out. Bible talks about people that'll spread discord. Watch out. Watch out. All right, be careful. Be careful. Man, just be careful of that kind of thing. My dad, when he went to Vidalia, Georgia, to start a church, First Fundamental Baptist Church in that area anywhere, and he went back to start it, the pastor of First Baptist Church of Vidalia, met him on the street one day and said, you're the fellow starting that church. My dad said, yeah. And he said, we don't need you here. Nothing like a warm welcome, right? Nothing like, we don't need you here. Dad preached and things got going and got things working, got a building. And then my dad had a guy come to him and say, now, preacher, listen, I tell you what, there's a lot to do here. He said, you do the preaching. And we, he's talking about me and my buddies, we'll take care of running the church. We'll take care of running the church. My dad looked at him and said, if God called me to pastor this church, he didn't call you to pastor this church. And I know he called me to pastor this church. He said, what happened? Had a big church split. Was it painful? Yes. Yeah, it was painful. But the Bible says you mark them, it causes division. You mark them, and you avoid them. Why? They've got doctrine messed up. That's why. They're going to probably be smooth talking. All right? they're not serving Jesus Christ, the Bible says. And notice what verse 18, it says, by their good words and fair speeches, they sound good. But he said they've got one goal, and that's to deceive other folks, to deceive people. Hey, you watch out for that group, all right? Hey, it's all about people, but there's some of them you got to look out for. You got to look out for them, all right? You need to take care. Stay away from them. Don't get involved with them. I've told you before, and I'm going to say this again because I believe it fits in here. If somebody comes to you and says to you, listen, that Brother Marion, I just want to talk to you about him. I want to tell you something. Here's what you need to do. You need to take that person by the arm and say, okay, let's do it. Let's go to his house. And you tell me everything you want to tell me about him. You tell me everything you want to tell me. I don't tell you. You talk about stopping it, it'll stop it. It'll stop it. Because that's not what they want to do. And by the way, it's not always directed at the preacher. But if they come to you and say, the preacher or the preacher's wife, say, okay, let's go see him. I'll listen to you there. I'm not going to listen to you here. I'm not going to do that. Hey, you be careful, people that spread discord. You say, preacher, why are you preaching this message tonight? What's going on? Nothing that I know of, but we don't want it going on, all right? If it does rise, we want to be prepared. Listen, nothing the devil likes to do more than destroy a church, destroy a family, destroy a home, destroy an individual. And he'll do it. And he'll do it with somebody that's got good words and fair speeches. You look out for them. The Bible says you mark them that cause divisions. You mark them that cause divisions. And I'll tell you, if it gets into that story, before you get there, say, wait a minute, whoa, that's where you're going. Let's go talk to them. Hey, let me say this to you. You cannot live as you should as a child of God without learning from people. You're just not going to do it. People are going to have their effect on you. They're going to help you. There's going to be some that are going to help you. They're going to lift you up. That's a good thing. You cannot live without affecting other people. All right? You can't live as a good Christian if you don't decide I'm going to help some people. I'll help some people. You can't be the Christian you ought to be if you don't thank people as you should. And you can't be what God wants you to be unless you find some other good Christian to say, I'm going to try to be like that. I'm going to try to be like them. I'm going to try to serve my Lord. I just want to find out what they do. And I'm going to see how they've done it. I'm going to listen to them. I'm going to pay attention. I think about my own ministry, if you will. I never went to Bible college. I never did go to any kind of class that tells you how to be a preacher or how to preach. But I tell you what I did do for years. Even as a teenager, I'd go hear every preacher I could find to listen to. And I paid attention, not only to what they said, but the way they said it, the way they went about it. I wanted to hear what they did and how they did it, and I picked up things from folks like that. If you knew the preachers that I really admire and look up to, and you knew them well, you could look at me and say, yeah, I see a little bit of that right there. I see where you got that. I see where that came from, all right? Because I'm a composite of all of them. One of the men that influenced me a great deal was Dr. Jim Vineyard, and I had the opportunity to sit down with him. Now, Brother Vineyard's like every other person. He had his faults. The only person that doesn't have any faults is me, all right? And you need to remember that. That's not true. I do too. But I remember sitting down with him and I say, Brother Vineyard, I just want to tell you thank you. I said, the only guy that's influenced me any more than you have is my dad. My dad. And I said, I appreciate what you've done for me. Okay? I appreciate that influence you've had on me. Now, he didn't know it because it was all from a distance. And most of those years, I'd never shaken his hand. I'd never spoken to him. Okay? But it's a blessing to be able to say that to people. Hey, thanks for what you did for me. And I want you to also consider in your life is what effect you have on somebody else. You see, I've said it a multitude of times. There's other people looking up to you. There's other people looking up to you. There's some of you folks here in this church, if somebody came to me and said, how could I be the best whatever? There's some of you, I would say, you need to look at this person. This person in our church, you need to do your best to be like them. Need to be your best to be like them. That's what you could do. Hey, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. You and I need to realize it's all about people, okay? Now, you're not going to be best buddies with everybody you meet. You're just not going to be. And sometimes you're better friends with somebody if you're only casually friendly, okay? Because if you get too close, they'll rub you or the wrong way, you know? Kind of grade on you a little bit. But, you know, you can put up with people's idiosyncrasies. I'm glad people put up with mine. And we can put up with other people. Hey, but there's some people you need to help. Be willing to help them. Be willing to help them. There's just some people like that. There's some folks you need to thank. Okay? There's some folks you need to thank. That you ought to express your thanks to them. Let them know, I am grateful to you for what you do for me. I'm grateful for that. There's some folks like that, all right? We just need to do it. There's some folks we need to befriend and do that. There's some folks you need to imitate. We'll imitate them. Try to learn from them and be what they are. But there's some you need to mark and avoid, so mark them and avoid them, all right? But you need the wisdom to know the difference. So where are you going to get that? Well, you get it from God. You get it from God. Listen. Just an instructive message tonight. I don't know what your need is. I don't know who needed it the most, and I don't know what particular part you may have needed. But I say to you, maybe tonight you're to determine in your heart, you know, that I'm going to do that, preacher. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be friendlier than I normally am. I'm going to be friendlier. You said, I'm an introvert. It's hard for me to do that. Okay, do something that's hard then. Do something that's hard. And I'll walk up to people, be one walk, say, howdy, how you doing? Especially in the house of God. Especially in the house of God. Hey, man, you're looking at a person. I was an introvert when I was a kid. But I'll talk to anybody anywhere now. I like to go in. You go into a store. People always ask you, what's the question? How you doing? How you doing? I'm at Walmart. How you doing? Man, I'm having a big time. I've said, what could be better than being able to come to Walmart? And the people that work there laugh. They probably think, I can think of a lot of things, all right? But hey, learn to befriend people, all right? Learn to do that. Let God tell you what you need to do. And if you need to work on some of those areas, then work on them. You need to come tonight and say, Lord, I need your help to be a better do a better job at whichever one you need to do, then do that. Do that. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you tonight for the Word of God that we have. We thank you for what God you've told us in your Word. And Lord, we do have to live in this world with people, and there's ways to deal with folks. There's ways we should deal with people. Lord, we ought to be friendly. We ought to be grateful. We ought to be thankful to people. We ought to try to imitate some folks. Lord, give us the wisdom to know which ones we need to do that for, but Lord, also help us to know which ones we need to avoid. We need to mark. We need to not have anything to do with them because they're wrong doctrinally and they'll hurt us. Lord, would you give us wisdom to do that? And Lord, if there's some folks that need to come, Lord, maybe they've been unkind to somebody. Maybe they've even been rude and they need to seek somebody's forgiveness. Lord, would you give them the courage to do that? Lord, help us to be what you want us to be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Would you stand tonight as we sing the invitation hymn? God deals with you, you come, and you do what you need to do before the Lord, all right?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Sing that next verse, would you?
Waiting not to rid my soul of one blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Would you bow your heads just for a moment, every head bowed and every eye closed? Listen, what are those areas do you need to work on? Which one of those areas that we mentioned tonight do you need to work on? Are there some folks you need to thank? Be sure you thank. Maybe there's somebody you need help. Be willing to help them. Look for the one you need help. Don't look away. Look forward. Be careful. But what do you need? And I hope we'll be the folks that will decide we're going to do what God has us to do. We're going to do that. It's good to have you tonight. We're glad that you're here. I trust that the message will stick with you past walking out those doors, all right? And don't forget to pray. We've got a list of folks that need your prayer. Would you please pray for them, all right? Please pray for them. I know they would greatly appreciate it. So remember them in prayer. Hey, remember the service Wednesday. Be here 7:30, and let's get together and have a good time in the Lord, all right? All right, good to have you here. Don't forget, those of you, just remind you, if you haven't picked up a Sword of the Lord, they're back there. Please pick one up. We'll be glad for you to have one. Take it, read it, all right? And they don't do anybody any good sitting there, so be sure you do that. How was service today, Brother Oftedal?
Good.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Glad to hear it. All right, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Brother Mary, you dismiss.
Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this and those privileges we've been allowed to meet together. We pray, Lord, now as we go our separate ways, you'll be with us. Help us, Lord, to take the message. Use it, Lord, as we greet one another. Lord, help us to be that, Lord, that would be an influence to others, Lord, to get the lost into the house of God. We pass out a tract. We invite, Lord, get them in where they can hear the word of God preached and taught. Bless now those of our number tonight unable to be here due to physical impairment, Lord. We ask that you would undergird, strengthen, heal those, Lord, that may be a little hesitant due to the pandemic that's been going around. We ask God that you would strengthen them, comfort their minds, give them, Lord, a renewed strength, a renewed urgency. Bless now, guide and direct. Be with our nation, our leaders. Be with our military, those in places of authority, Lord. Use them. And, Lord, for your service, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.